Thank the Lord this morning for His blessings to us. Have a message, Lord, to put on my heart to share this morning. It could very easily have been a series of lessons, a series of messages, but I felt like the Lord wanted it just in a packaged up. So we're going to move through fairly quickly this morning on a principle that has application to many, many different areas of our life. And that is on the subject of sowing and reaping. I'd like to begin over in the 6th chapter of Galatians, very familiar passage of Scripture, but one that is imperative to our spiritual understanding in our relationship with God and also in our relationship with one another. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Scripture started off by saying, be not deceived. Now, when the Scripture says, be not deceived, it tells me something. It tells me that there is a good probability that there are people that are being deceived on the point that he's about to address. So when he said, be not deceived, God is not mocked, we would be ignorant or foolish this morning to assume that we are the exception to the rule. Have you ever done something and you defended yourself thinking you were the exception? Say, well, for most people, it's probably not the best thing, but for me in this situation, it's okay. You get on a slippery slope when you start thinking you're an exception. Well, I think I can get away with it, or I think I can handle it. Most people can't, but I think I can handle it. I have a message for you this morning. You can't handle it. Don't be deceived. Don't allow the enemy to pull the wool over your eyes and think that you're an exception. When the Bible says something, folks, it's applicable to all of us. And he said, don't be deceived because God's not mocked. We're not going to make a fool of God, in other words. This is applicable to all. That's the first point I want us to get hold of, is that in the law of sowing and reaping, it is applicable to all of us. There are no exceptions to the rule. It applies, there is a law of sowing and reaping that applies in our walk with God this morning. There is a law of sowing and reaping that works in relationships. You're going to reap what you sow. Whether you want to or not, you're not exempt in the relationships with you have. Whether it's in the relationship with your children, in the relationship with your husband or your wife, the relationship in the body of Christ, there is a law of sowing and reaping. It applies to financial matters. There's a law of sowing and reaping that applies in financial matters. Covers a lot of ground. It applies in your schoolwork too, children, in a lot of ways. There's a law of sowing and reaping in your schoolwork too. So it would behoove us to understand what the law of sowing and reaping is all about. Well, it is a truth that there are no exceptions. You are going to reap what you sow. Scripture said in 2 Corinthians 5:10, it said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done. In other words, you're going to receive at the judgment based upon what you have done, whether good or evil. Folks, that is a fundamental truth, isn't it? Fundamental truth. The judgment is going to come, and the Scripture said we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Simple reminder for us as some of God's people this morning, we're not exempt from that. We're not going to say, but Lord, I was in the Church of God congregation, so that exempts me from personal accountability. We're not going to stand as a body before Christ. There are some churches, and I will say there are some Church of God groups that basically, in essence, teach that. We are not going to stand before God as a body. We are going to stand individually and give account of ourselves. Well, Lord, don't you know who I am? That, you know, my last name, now that comes with a little bit of, you know, people know who I am that because my family's pretty good standing. That has nothing to do with it. You are going to stand before God and we're going to give an account, each and every one of us. We are not going to be exempt. It is also very important for us to realize that there is sowing starts with a seed. All right? There is power in the seed. I've read before in an archaeological many years ago, they found seed in, I believe it was in some of the tombs in Egypt. And they were able to plant those. The DNA and what worked in that was still there because it had been lying dormant for thousands of years. Folks, there is power. When we talk about sowing and reaping, we're not talking now about just going throwing out a lot of seed and reaping. I want us to know there is power in the seeds that you are sowing. All of us are sowing seed today. All of us are sowing seed in our walk with God, whether it be good or bad. You are either sowing good seed and living righteously, or you are sowing some seeds of unrighteousness. And we can say, but I'm mostly okay. Have you ever heard people say that? I'm mostly okay. And why are you just looking at this thing? Because all of this over here is okay. Folks, there is power in one seed. One seed. There's power in it. And the scripture, Hebrews 12, said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up whereby many be defiled. A root of bitterness, where does it start from? A seed. It starts from one seed. Someone didn't treat me right. Now I've got a choice. One seed of bitterness. One seed of unforgiveness, folks, we're going to get there, but you know what happens when one seed goes into the ground and starts to grow, right? But there is power in the seed. One seed has the power to break up strong concrete, doesn't it? You ever been walking on a sidewalk and seen this sidewalk go up and it's cracked and broken? You think, how did that happen? Because a seed got down in there, even underneath it, and it began to grow in what looked at one little seed had the power through time to do great destruction. So there is power in the seed. So the lesson to be learned in that is, in this law of sowing and reaping, young people, children, adults, is do not excuse or justify yourself in, it's just one little act of disobedience. Well, I'm obeying my mom and dad in most things, but there's just one thing. I'm just one act of disobedience. I want you to remember there's a law of sowing and reaping. One seed has great power. A seed of disobedience, but also a seed of kindness. Going back to last Sunday morning, one seed of kindness can bring forth and do so much good. Just one smile, one kind word can do so much good. It has so much power in it. Well, one act of rebellion or one act of submission. One seed of division. Have you ever seen what one seed of division can do? It can split up homes and it can split up congregations. It can split up families. One seed of division. But on the other side of that, do you know what one seed of unity can do? Folks, all of us are sowing seeds. But let's not forget the power of one seed. And we reap what we sow. Did y'all know that? If you're waiting for something profound this morning, you may be waiting a while. This is all profound, but it's simple and it's stuff we all know. But we reap what we sow. Yes, none of us are exempt, number one. Number two, the power lies in the seed. Number three, folks, we reap what we sow. The nature of the seed that you sow is going to determine the nature of the harvest. And God was the one that put it that way. In the book of Genesis, in the first chapter in the 12th verse, it said, "The earth brought forth grass and herb, yielding seed after his kind. And the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good." Folks, this is good news for the righteous. The harvest, the nature of your harvest is going to be after the nature of the seeds that you have been sowing. It's good news for the righteous, but folks, it's bad news for the unrighteous. Because if you sow seeds of unrighteousness, it tells us then the law of sowing and reaping is that the reaping is going to be after the nature of the seed that you have sown. If you sow discord, if you sow unrighteousness, if you sow the seed of disobedience, if you sow the seeds of unkindness, you are going to reap that kind of harvest in your life. But on the other side, if you will sow the seed, and you may look at your life and say it's so insignificant. Folks, a seed is insignificant in and of itself. It's little, it's small. What value is there in one seed? You know the answer to that. One seed can do great things. It can cause a lot of damage or it can cause a lot of good. Folks, it starts in your homes. There's trouble in your home, trouble between brothers and sisters, trouble between husbands and wives. It is because there's been some seeds that are being sown. There are divisions in family, divisions in congregation. It's because there are some seeds that are being sown. And on the surface, you could say it was a little thing. Folks, little things bring forth great things. But the positive is getting along. Husbands and wives getting along. Siblings in unity together. Congregations working together for a common cause and a common purpose for the Lord. Where did that come from? There have been some seeds that are being sown of righteousness and kindness and seeds of holiness and seeds of righteousness. So we're going to reap what we sow, and the nature of the seed determines the nature of the harvest. Folks, we can't go out and sow weeds and expect to harvest maize, can we? Or corn. You go out and sow weeds, what are you going to get? Weeds. If you go out and sow after the flesh, what are you going to reap? He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you go out and sow the seeds of sin, your heart, your reaping, your harvest is going to be painful. But if you will go out and sow the seeds of righteousness, you're going to reap. You're going to reap and harvest something good, folks. You're going to reap. The scripture said, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap what? Life everlasting. Folks, that's what I want this morning. Life everlasting versus eternal death. That determination is not going to be made at the judgment seat of Christ. Do we know that? What we're going to harvest is not going to be determined at the judgment. The judgment is a formality of a dispensing or a reaping based upon the seed that you and I chose to sow. That was our choice, our decision. So what seeds are we sowing this morning? The nature of the seed determines the nature of the harvest. Fourth point. And I hope you all can see, and I hope the Spirit of the Lord will just take this. If you can go home and just remember one thing, that we could spend a service on each one of these points, probably multiple services on each point. But point four is that others also reap what we sow. Sometimes we fail to say that. People say, I've heard so many times, it's my decision. No one else is involved. This is my decision. Folks, what you do affects other people. Young people, children, parents, what we do affects other people. Children, let me ask you a question for a moment. If you're with your brothers and sisters and you think, okay, I know mom and dad said not to do this and I'm going to do it, but it's my decision. I'm not making it for my brothers and sisters. They're on their own. But I'm going to be disobedient in this area. How many times do the people that you're with, whether it's friends or brothers and sisters, it's like, yeah, I'm going to do that too. You are causing and influencing someone else because of what you said, this is just my decision. The choices we make in this life are going to have long-lasting impact on people that are around us. We can try to isolate ourselves and say everybody paddles their own canoe and I'm an island unto myself. No, you're not. What you do affects everybody else. How you live your life affects the congregation. How you live your life affects the, how much can God bless and anoint in the assembly of God's people if 75% are choosing to live closer to the world than to the Lord? Do you expect the Lord to come in and say, oh yes, I'm going to bless you and you all are doing just fine? Or are there going to be some consequences to shoddy spiritual Christian living? Another point on this is that others reap what we sow. Parents, there are some things as we get older, we're not exceptions, but sometimes as people get older, they think that they're different. I can handle it now. It's not a good influence for the young people, and it's not good, and we're going to teach against it, but I can do it because I can handle it. I've been around the block a little bit. There's no exceptions. There are many seeds that have been sown by the middle age and the elderly. Seeds that have been sown that their children and grandchildren are reaping the consequences of mom and dad's decision. So if there's some bitterness in your life, I say to the grown people, you better conquer it now or your children will grow up with the same bitternesses. Well, I'm never going back to that church. Okay, mom and dad, you conquer that thing now because do you think your children are going to go back to that church? Or do you know what they did to mom and dad? Mom and dad should have taken care of it and shouldn't have been talking about it till they got victory because now their children are going to harbor the same resentments against that preacher. You know what he did and said? You know what they did to my grandpa and grandma? I heard what they did. It was 30 years ago. Had someone tell us something one time, and we were searching in our minds trying to figure out what was going on and found out they had something in their mind from 15 years ago. One little thing, we're thinking, what is going on? There was one little interaction with someone 15 years ago, and you're harboring resentments and bitterness over one little thing? Folks, you see where the devil works? We need to conquer those things. But there's a reaping of the seeds that we're sowing, and we're not islands to ourselves. Fifth point, reaping is in direct proportion to our sowing. Scripture says this, 2 Corinthians 9:6. He said, he that soweth sparingly shall also what? Reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Well, we heard in our revival meeting, if you will remember, about investing. Do you remember? Are you investing in the things of God? There are some people, they get to old age and say, I don't have any money. Well, why don't you have any money? Well, I wasn't sowing seed. I wasn't putting anything away. If you don't put something away, you can't expect to go withdraw it down the road. Law of sowing and reaping, isn't it? If you sow sparingly, you can't go out and say, well, the harvest isn't very good. Well, you didn't put down enough seed. The other day, we put down some seed out here and at home, and I recognized after I went to all this work, I thought, you know what? I really didn't put down enough seed. It took the same amount of time to spread it, same amount of time to slice it, same amount of time to water it, but guess what? Unfortunately, I should have put down more seed. Can't expect a big harvest if we don't put down a lot of seed. The question then is this. How much are we investing in relationships? Start with God. You say, I want the Lord to bless my life. Have you been sowing bountifully the things for the Lord? Have you been investing in the things of God? Don't have time to do this for the Lord. Don't have time to do that. Don't have time to pray. Don't have time to come to service. Don't have time to do that. We heard about this in the revival. How much are you investing? Folks, we can't expect to get a spiritual harvest if we're not willing to do some sowing. So it's in direct proportion. What about relationships? Do you realize that there's a law of sowing and reaping in personal relationships as well, isn't there? You can't expect to get back what you don't put in. We live in a time, it seems, people are just, they want things on their terms. I want things done the way I want it on my terms. What kind of relationship do you have with people that are like that? Not much. Selfish. It's all about me. It's I don't like this, I don't like that, I don't like this. And so then you do it on my terms and my way, and we'll get together when we want, when you do. Wait. Doesn't work very well, does it? There's a law of sowing and reaping. So how much are we investing? Husbands and wives, do you know it takes investment? How much are you investing in the relationship? It goes beyond, because you can't expect things to be good if you're not willing to invest in it. We live in a world that it's about taking. Just give me, give me, give me. What can I get? I want to get this when I want it, how I want it, but when I don't, then it's on. Folks, people do that with God, and they do it in relationships. You want something to be better this morning? You want a relationship with someone in your life to be better than what it is? Got a question for you. How much are you sowing? I said, but we're not harvesting anything. I remember Brother James Bell many years ago. He said, this only Brother James could tell it the way he does. Kind of hung his head. And he said, I went out to the post, to the mailbox, and I got the mail, and there's a bill, James Bell. Then there's a letter, a card from someone to Tricia Bell. There's a bill, James Bell. There's a card, Tricia Bell. And he said, I felt kind of bad. All the good stuff was going to my wife. I think he began to examine how many cards he'd been sending out. How much he'd been investing, see? I wonder this morning if some of the relationship problems that people are having, I wonder how much seed you've been sowing. Sixth point is that we reap more than what we sow. Isn't that fundamental? The law of sowing and reaping, we reap more than what we sow. Why do farmers sow a seed? Because they expect a bigger harvest, right? One seed, and I looked it up, but you know one seed of corn can actually bring forth hundreds of kernels? One seed? One seed of corn, one seed of kindness, one seed of bitterness. Jesus talked about this when he told the parable of the sower. He said the seed that fell on good ground, he said, and it brought forth fruit. He said some it brought forth 100-fold, in some 60-fold, in some 30-fold. So, you're going to reap more than what you sow. People, they reap. Young people, or they go out and they sow. They sow their, we call it wild oats. Have you ever heard that term? Go out and sow your wild oats. And then all of a sudden, the harvest starts coming, and they say, that's not fair. That's not fair. I don't deserve all of this. It is a fundamental law of sowing and reaping that you're going to harvest more than what you sowed. And you say, well, that's not fair. Well, it's fair when you're sowing good seed, isn't it? Oh, I'm reaping. I have all these friends. Oh, a man that hath friends must do what? Show himself friendly. If you want money in the bank when you grow old, you better start investing it when you're young. Get a little interest on there. There's power in compound interest, isn't there? But there's a law that you're going to reap more than what you sow. Folks, we need to recognize this in the choices we're making today then. The decisions we're making for the Lord, we're going to reap more than what we sow. Scripture says the positive is you sow good seed. He said you're going to reap 100-fold and some 60-fold. But on the other side of that, the prophet Hosea said this. They have sown the wind and they're going to reap what? The whirlwind. They've sown the wind. In other words, we did some bad things, but You're going to reap the whirlwind, something that is so much more powerful and strong. And you look back and say, well, that's not fair. Remember the power of the seed. You sowed it. And now you're reaping multiple times over what you sow. So you see how careful we ought to be then? Relationships, our walk with God, don't minimize little things. There's power in the seed, and we're going to reap more than what we sow. We're going to reap in a different season than what we sow too. And that's something that's pretty important to recognize, that what we sow today does not always sprout tomorrow. There are decisions and choices and seeds that people sow in relationships. Young people, do you know who are going to be your friends when you get into old age, most likely? They're going to be people that you have bonded with when you're young. Many times. It was noteworthy at Uncle Vernon. He's my cousin, but uncle, I guess, too, by marriage. And so, his birthday party yesterday, I took note of who was there. I was like, where are the young people? Well, there weren't a whole lot of bonds. But I looked around and I saw the oldest of the old ones among us. Even some that don't come to church anymore, they came to the birthday party because it was the age group. There were those connections that had been formed. Folks, if you don't want to grow old and lonely, you're going to grow old. But if you don't want to be lonely, then sow the seed that will foster relationships when you get older. Okay? Don't minimize, say, well, I don't need them. I don't. Yes, folks, we do need each other. We do need each other. We reap in a different season. Some crops grow quickly and some take a long time. And that means then that we need to be patient for the harvest. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In due season. Don't, young people, I'm not picking on you, but you've got more time for some sprouting, more time for some reaping. Recognize that the seed that you are sowing today, it's not always, the consequences aren't always going to come about tomorrow. You think, oh, I disobeyed, or I was getting close to the world and doing things I know the saints haven't normally done, but I'm still saved and I got away with it. Listen, it's not all over. It's not all over. The reason why we teach and live a careful life in holiness, number one, because the Word of God says it. But there's another reason. It's because when I have watched down through the years people that have cut a little corner here and I've watched the consequences in their life, I'm thinking, okay, I don't want that consequence. In the things that they minimize and they'll argue till they're blue in their face, it's not sin. Okay, that's fine. You have the power to do it. But I just want you to know that when you look at the harvest of people that have done that, that's not a harvest I want. And so then, I want to sow good seed. I want my focus to be on sowing those things that I can look forward to reaping a harvest from the seeds of carefulness and holiness and kindness and love and investing in the Lord. That's the kind of harvest that I want to get. So just because you're not harvesting the day after you make the decision, you've got some years ahead of you. So then, another point we wind this up is we want to sow good seed now. In the morning, in the book of Ecclesiastes, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand. He went on to say, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, whether this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. I don't know what all seed's going to grow, but I want to focus on sowing good seed. And I want to do it now. I don't want to wait. It is foolish. It's foolish for all of us, for any of us, at any stage of our life to think that there's going to come another time in our life that's more conducive to sowing good seed. Young people that think I can go out and have my fun, then I'll get right with God. It might work, but I want to tell you what, you're going to pay a high price. There's going to be consequences. There's going to be things that will affect your mind and your body. Affect the way you look at things. That it will be hard to ever truly restore. So when people warn and say, you know what, don't do it, young people, listen. Because there's a harvest that even if we get saved and make heaven in this life, there's a harvest to the seeds of disobedience and rebellion against God. So sow good seed now. I will mention also that sowing involves some risk. You know why? Because you could have eaten it. You know, think about corn seed. I think about an African maize. They could have eaten it. But instead of eating it, I'm going to take a risk. And I'm going to go plant it. You know what has to happen to that seed to grow? It has to die. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Right? There are going to be some seeds, folks, that it's going to take dying out to ourself. But when you learn to die out to yourself, I want you to know the law of sowing and reaping means when I die out to myself, there's going to be something good multiplied back to me when I am willing to die out. And folks, we are responsible for the sowing. But I want us to know when we sow good seed that God is the one responsible for the harvest. When we sow good seed, it's, you know what, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I don't have to go in and see, well, where's some seed, some grass seed out there and dig down and try to find it and do something to it. No, it's Lord, we plant and we water. But God is going to be the one to cause the growth and the increase based upon the planting that we did. Same thing applies spiritually. Same thing applies in our relationships with people. There's a song, and maybe we can close with this song. It said, we are sowing every moment. Seeds that yield much good or bad, and each one is surely growing, cheering souls or making sad. Wonder this morning, what kind of seeds have we been sowing? I'd like to summarize it. There is a law of sowing and reaping, and it applies to all of us. None of us are exempt. It starts with the seed, and there is power in the seed. Small things. We reap what we sow. The nature of the seed, folks, determines the nature of the harvest. You're not getting along with someone. What kind of seed have you been sowing? What have you been investing? You don't feel the blessings of the Lord in your life? What seed have you been sowing? Others are going to reap what you sow as well. You're not an island. Reaping is in direct proportion to the sowing. You want an abundant harvest? Sow abundantly. We reap more than what we sow. It's an exponential situation right there. You put one seed in and it brings forth many. We reap more than we sow. We're going to reap in a different season than what we sow. The results of the planting, we don't always see them. If you're sowing good seeds, don't be discouraged. If you say, well, I don't see the results, so I might as well stop. No, it's not finished there either. Just like it's not on the negative, it's not on the positive either. Sow some good seeds. Well, I sent them a text letting them know I was thinking about it and praying for them, and every time I do, I never hear from them. They'll never respond. You know what? Maybe they're upset at getting it, or maybe they're not. But you know what? Keep sowing seeds of kindness and leave it with the Lord. And sowing involves some risk because we have to die. And we need to be patient in the harvest. So may we be encouraged, folks, we leave here. Examine the law of sowing and reaping. It applies to relationships. It applies in families. It applies in the body of Christ. And ultimately, in our spiritual walk with God, there is a law that none of us are exempt. So may the Lord help us go out and sow some good seed. Amen.